Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Hey, this is for my friends Marcus, Mike, and Todd. Thank you for voting me as the most impressive debut at Raw of this decade. Thank you. I send you a big hug. And for all those, listen to WrestleChat Radio from your friend Angel Garza. And remember, el Latino está en la casa, baby.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Yes, there was an Angel Garza sighting last night for the second week in a row, and it's good to see Angel Garza, friend of this show, back on Raw and back in an angle where he's winning. We'll discuss that in a minute. First off, let's get to what honestly was a very, very solid episode. Second week in a row of Monday Night Raw. It's not flawless. There were some missteps along the way, but I got to tell you, it was pretty highly entertaining overall, and it started right out with a bang. Big E versus Bobby Lashley, and Big E's done a great job as champion so far. I have to tell you, I was very, very skeptical of Big E as the champion for a couple of reasons. The first reason is I wondered if he could balance the silliness of the New Day with the seriousness that you're going to be a champion. Because when Big E was serious before and he was a heel and he was sort of Dolph Ziggler's bodyguard or whatever he was, wasn't very interesting. When he became this clownish sort of New Day character, he was very, very funny and very, very charismatic, but didn't feel like a champion. Felt more like maybe a tag team champion, but he felt more there for comedic and tag team role. He's done a great job of balancing both. A great job. And I think his true worth to the company is now starting to reveal itself a little bit. And maybe he'll stay champion longer than we think. So this started out right away with Bobby Lashley and Big E. They fought for, I don't know, several minutes. And then, much to everyone's surprise, here come Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander with Hurt Business t-shirts on. They do not touch Big E. Big E looks a little bit confused. He's thrown back into the ring, and it looks like it's curtains for Big E after a spear, and the New Day hit the ring. I don't know how the Hurt Business didn't stop them, but New Day hits the ring, and this match is thrown out. This, to be honest, would have been a disaster had it not been for the fact that they then announced, it's not going to end this way, we're going to have a winner tonight, and we're going to hold this match again. Only this time it's going to be in a steel cage so there can be no interference. If they had of bait and switched you with, we're going to have this title shot, and then it just came out to be that, that was old WWE. That's what they would have done. A month or two ago, that's what they would have done. This WWE is trying a little bit harder now, obviously, said we can't do that. We're going to have to give it some kind of a payoff. So at the end of the night, we'll have the steel cage match. Now, this is great booking for this reason. You watched early because you wanted to see the title match. You stayed late because you wanted to see the title match. They got the opening and the closing with one match. Two different times, but it's the same match. So that was actually pretty good booking. And I think the opening was really good, and it left us a little bit of a question mark as to why is the Hurt Business there again? Does MVP have anything to do with it while he's recovering? Did Bobby Lashley know about it ahead of time? There's a lot of questions to be answered, Mike, but I thought it was an intriguing beginning to Monday Night Raw.
Right, and think about it. I mean, and the other question is, why is after them being apart for a while, why is Benjamin and Alexander back together? How they get back together? Why are they back together? You know?
Yeah, exactly. We have no idea yet. Why are they back together? Is it just their idea? Did Bobby Lashley request it? Did MVP request it? We really don't know, Todd, but they're back, apparently.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Gail. Like you said about the Hurt Business, we've been speculating for a while for them to get back together. They were doing, like, teases here and there for them to get back together last night.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is a positive step forward, and I'll tell you why. Once again, we are now seeing, in second week in a row, we are seeing the WWE make very, very good use of the people they weren't making use of. You have Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander just sitting around. There is absolutely no reason not to use them. And now we see maybe they'll be used a little bit better. So, yeah, we get the teaser match to start things, but we also get the announcement that there's going to be a steel cage match later. So that sort of makes up for it and makes fans tune in. Next, we get Angel Garza one-on-one with Eric of the Viking Raiders. And I had zero faith that Angel Garza's winning this. I said, oh, Jesus, here we go. It's going to either be a double disqualification because we're going to have Ibar jump in and Humberto jump in, or there's going to be a DQ or a count out. It's going to lead to a tag team match. There's not going to be a clear winner one way or the other, and they're going to feud with the Viking Raiders that way. Once again, the WWE proved me wrong. There was a clear winner. Yes, there was some interference and some hocus pocus, but Angel Garza gets the win. That's an impressive win for Angel Garza. It's about time. It's about time the WWE realized, number one, Humberto Carrillo much better off as a heel. Correct. Number two, Angel Garza is somebody you need to use and utilize correctly and well. Absolutely. So once again, I'm happy with this match, Mike. I thought it was a good match, and I thought that it's leading to something that could be promising with this tag team.
Yes, and this is our guy. This is Angel Garza. He's our guy, you know. And
yep.
And that's the thing. And look, one good thing. The other good thing about this match is, Eric is a big, tough, strong guy, right? Well, when he hit that wing clipper,
I know
he didn't get up. He didn't get up.
No, he did not. That is absolutely correct. They sold that move. And that's so important. You know, we've talked about that time and time again, that you can't undermine these finishers. You just can't. And logically, the heavier you are, that move is for you, because it's more weight coming down on you. So logically, it would probably have a worse effect on Eric than it would on Ricochet, for instance. So very happy to see this. This was two thumbs up for me again, because I'm really liking this tag team. They have something here. There's a definite chemistry between these two. They're related. They can't overplay this handsomest tag team in the world thing, because that's dumb. But man, I'll tell you, if they handle these guys right, they can absolutely be a really, really solid tag team for the WWE. So I hope that they handle them correctly. Todd, it was good to see Garza in the winner's circle again.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Dale. Like you said, with Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo, they just can't be like pretty boys. They got to be like sort of like tough, but like cowardly tough or something like that with those two.
Yeah, it's got to be a little bit like, you know, Eddie Guerrero and Chavo, right? That's sort of what they're going for, I would imagine. So, yeah, I'd be all for that. So we're off to a pretty good start. We then hear that Reggie is actually going to defend his 24/7 belt against Ricochet. And I'm at this point, I'm on cloud nine because I'm saying this is everything that we've called for on the show. They're doing. They're absolutely doing. They're giving us definitive finishes, or they're at least giving us a great reason to stay tuned for that definitive finish. They're utilizing their undercard well. They're going to bring around the 24/7 belt and actually have it defended rather than just not defended by virtue of running away. So I'm really happy, and I'm saying Ricochet on top of Reggie, this is going to be some kind of an acrobatic match. Well, it turned out to not be so great because Reggie can't wrestle. So you have a problem because Ricochet and anybody else he's in the ring with can't really do much to him. All they can really do is springboard around and flip and flop and show their acrobatics, and that's about all they can do. You're going to have to train him. You're going to have to get him trained quicker. Take the belt off him while he's being trained or something. They're not going to take the belt off him as long as he gets millions of views on TikTok, though, with his acrobatics. But I would have liked to have seen a much longer match between Ricochet and Reggie. And I would have liked to have seen more of their high-flying utilized and their acrobatic skills utilized. But there was an attack by Drake Maverick and his crew, which I guess R-Truth is a heel. I mean, it's not really being a heel because you're supposed to be defending it any time, but the rules were that I guess it was a normal match or they were both – I don't know what the hell it was. But either way, they attacked him, caused a double disqualification so that the match would be over, and I guess it reverts back to every man for himself at that point. Drake Maverick has the aisle blocked with Akira Tozawa. But Reggie's able to get around Tozawa, and he escapes. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. I had really high hopes that we were going to see Reggie and Ricochet light it up for about 10 minutes. Didn't happen, but at least if there's a good thing to come out of this, you utilized a lot of wrestlers in one spot. You had Reggie, Ricochet, R-Truth, Tozawa. Who else was in there? Drake Maverick and, it was quite a few people that were in there, Mike. So at least, again, they're utilizing their undercard.
Yeah, I know they don't want to use Rockstar, but Drake Maverick, I'll say this. That's a bad porn name, you know? It really is.
Yeah, it is. It's terrible.
You know, and look, here's the deal. And we'll get to this next, but it flows right into it because after the whole thing went down with the 24/7 thing, Tozawa gets in the ring and, hey, his English is better than I thought it was, you know, and he says some stuff, and then we get the returning of the Bearcat.
Yes, and again, this is a good thing, Mike, because it led right into it. There was no nonsense of, well, we got to take a break and we're doing this, and then we got to – no, it was one thing led into another. It was very smooth and seamless. Now, I've heard a lot of people on social media say, stupid Keith Lee, they gave my name Bearcat. How dumb is the freaking name Bearcat? Bearcat Lee, you know, there's Vince McMahon and his stupidness again. I don't see anything stupid about this. I don't see anything stupid about it. For the info of people who do not know, Bearcat Wright was an African-American professional wrestler in the late 50s and 60s. And listen, there was a lot of racial divide and racial tension in the United States at that point. And he was a draw. He kind of transcended that, and he filled places up as a face. And I don't see anything wrong with Keith Lee monikering Bearcat. I just don't. And for the benefit of people who don't know about Bearcat, right? Well, here's a thought. I wasn't alive in that era either, and I know about it. If you love professional wrestling, I've said this a million times, I'll say it a million more. If you love professional wrestling, do your history. Just like you would any other thing. There are baseball fans. They weren't alive during Babe Ruth, but they can recite his numbers, right? They weren't alive during Lou Gehrig, but they can recite his numbers. Well, I wasn't alive during Bearcat Wright's run either. But I know who he is, and I know what he did. And I know that the name Bearcat may sound stupid to 15-year-olds who don't study wrestling. But this is not a bad thing. I don't see how it's a bad thing at all. It's, if anything, it's a tribute, and it's a throwback. And I thought it was actually pretty good. Now, whether or not this means Keith Lee is a heel, I don't know. Because Tozawa's one of those people you're not sure. Is he a heel? Is he a face? What is he? I don't know. I don't really know. It seems as though Keith Lee is leaning a little toward that heelish side, but I'm not 100% sure, Mike. But once again, I don't find any problem at all with them using the moniker of Bearcat.
You know, I just thought about this. I mean, they could ask, yeah, I don't find him, you know, I don't find that I was, you know, I could have, you know, it would have been nice, you know, but Bearcat's all right as a nickname, but hey, how about this? You could absolutely call him Big Cat as well, you know?
Yeah, listen, any kind of name, you got to understand that back in the early days of wrestling, everybody was the Big Cat Ernie Ladd, Bearcat Wright. You know, Polish Power, Ivan Putski. That's just the way it was. There's nothing wrong with this. And for, you know, 16, 17-year-old kids to snicker online about it and say, hey, Stanford, you don't understand your wrestling history. And obviously you don't respect it. Because if Keith Lee went back in the history books and said, you know, this is somebody that, I don't know how old Keith Lee is, but if this was somebody that he knew about or somebody that he respected or he felt contributed to African-Americans' achievements in professional wrestling, of which he would be absolutely 100% correct, taking on that moniker, there's just nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. Now, he threw Tozawa around like a rag doll, and I understand – Todd, Tozawa's a gifted wrestler, but he's going to have to face the fact that the WWE does not want to use him as such. They want to use him as more of a comedic guy who runs around after the 24/7 belt and gets his ass whooped. But he's collecting a paycheck. I mean, if, at some point, that's what certain people have to do that job.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, most of these guys who are the undercard don't get used that much because of their size. Like you said, they're just there to collect a paycheck.
Yeah, and I mean, if he's happy with what he's doing, I don't see a problem with it. Listen, I like Tozawa. I think Tozawa's a very, very good wrestler. I'd like to see him a little bit more involved in the wrestling business and less in the comedy business, Mike, but he's doing it well, and he seems to be okay with it.
Yeah, it's like what we talked about on Sunday or last week with Nakamura. You know, Nakamura seems to be happy with what he's doing. Yeah, he's getting paid, but he seems to be happy with what he's doing. And he came in the ring and seemed to be ring and seemed to be angry, but that's doing your job.
Right. Right. So I didn't really have a problem with this. I thought it made Keith Lee look pretty good. It makes him look huge because, obviously, Tozawa was very small. Keith Lee is a big man. But he made him look even bigger because Tozawa was very small, made him look extremely strong because he's tossing him around. So I had no problem with it. It's a squash match. It's there to do one thing only, and that is to make Keith Lee look good, and it did. We then get Damian Priest versus Sheamus in a no-holds-barred match. And I got to tell you, I'm a huge fan of Sheamus. I really am. And you know, I didn't used to be so much. It's ironic. There, certain times I was like, he's right. He's a little boring. He's not really what I consider too exciting a wrestler. But when he got back from his injury, it's like he has a new lease on life. This guy is literally putting his body out there every single week. And he's busting ass, and he's not kidding. See, that's the thing. I'm sure he had a talk with Damian Priest backstage, and he said, look, if you're going to hit me with the kendo stick, really hit me. I'm going to hit you. We're going to have a very, very physical match. Every time Sheamus steps in the ring, it's an extraordinarily physical match, and it's an obviously extraordinarily physical match. It's not phony physical. It's really physical. Damian Priest put welts on Sheamus that were bleeding. Okay, so that's not just his pale skin getting a little bit pink because he's so pale. He was bleeding from his back. This is a guy who broke his nose severely and apparently broke it again. And he's still out there getting beat with a kendo stick. Damian Priest got put through a table. Sheamus got put through a table. All I can tell you is this. A lot of people ask me, well, what's your favorite type style of wrestling? And I have many, but this is pretty close to it. This is what my type of match is. Very physical, somewhat real in the sense that you can see that there's some real shots landing and you're working very stiff. That's sort of my type of wrestling. And I thought this was fabulous. And there was a couple of times when I said, Jesus, they're going to let Sheamus win this. They're legitimately going to let Sheamus win. They had me fooled for once or twice. They had me fooled. Especially when that table stood there so long. And I said, Sheamus seems to be avoiding it. I don't think he's the guy going through it. Something's going to happen. But no, Sheamus lost. Well, listen. You've picked Damian Priest as the guy you want. That's fine. I'm not the hugest fan of him, but I'll tell you what. He went a long way yesterday or last night to making me a fan because he took as well as he gave. Sheamus beat the hell out of him. Literally beat the hell out of him. And he showed some poise because he blew a move where he was supposed to switch on the ropes with Sheamus outside, and he lost his footing on the ring apron, got right back up there quick, didn't get frustrated. If he's the guy you want to run with, I'm cool with it. But I'll tell you what, do not shift Sheamus into an undercard situation where he's just beating up guys in 3 minutes, because that sort of match that you had, that's the type of match that's going to bring fans back to you. I'm telling you. The WWE wants to know what types of matches are going to bring fans back to watching. That's it. That's it. That match, from start to finish, I watched every second of it and said, this is freaking great. These guys are really putting it out. See, I've gotten sick of watching people who are very gifted athletes and very good acrobats not take really any risk because everything is so phony and obviously staged and it doesn't really look like you're fighting. It looks like you're doing your ballet routine. And we've forgotten what just hard-nosed rock'em sock'em wrestling is. And this is what it was. Mike, I thought this was really, really good. I thought this was as good a match as I've seen Sheamus in a long time.
Well, yeah, but then again, over the last 4 to 6 months, maybe a little bit longer, how many of these type of matches has Sheamus been in?
A ton.
With different people. Yes. So it's like he keeps giving you these type of performances, and look, this is him making Damian Priest look like a big, tong struck, tough guy, you know. That's what you want Damian Priest to look like, right?
It's gonna be
a guy that's tough to beat. Yeah, you may beat him, but you're not gonna be feeling well after the match, you know?
Right. You know, that's such a good point, Mike, because this, a lot of people will say, well, you know, it's Sheamus basically being Sheamus. And that doesn't mean that Damian Priest is going to do this from now on or anything. Sheamus always has these type of matches. And, yeah, you're right. That's what I like about Sheamus. But what I do think is that Sheamus put the rub on Damian Priest. In other words, having that sort of physical match, fans sort of respect Damian Priest more. Remember in ECW where everyone hated Tommy Dreamer because they thought he was like this pretty boy guy who didn't fit in? And then the Sandman caned him like a bazillion times. And he took all that hardcore shit and everybody was like, okay, well, we're accepting him now. Trial by fire, and he passed. I think maybe last night Damian Priest was trial by fire and he passed. Sheamus beat the hell out of him. And I came away from that match saying, okay, if Damian Priest can put on a few more of these type of matches, maybe I'll soften my position a little bit on him. I always thought he's average, you know. But if he can do this type of stuff, if he can wrestle that way, I'm all for it. And I hope that Sheamus maybe led the way to that, Todd. Once again, another really great, hard-hitting Sheamus match.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with the Sheamus and the Damian Priest match, it looks like they put on some good chemistry together there in those matches together. And we'll see where this goes with this thing, with him and Sheamus.
You know, I said the same thing. I was almost hoping that Sheamus would win, and then we'd have to have another Damian Priest match, and we'd sort of go back and forth a little with this. Like, they're going to have this big rivalry where they trade the belt for a while, because I do think they have good chemistry. Really do. Anyway, we get into the six-man tag team match, in which Mansoor and Ali are joining forces with Jeff Hardy. Once again, you're using Jeff Hardy, which is good. It's about time. You had Jeff Hardy backstage for I don't know how long, sitting at catering. You finally woke up and said, you know, we do have Jeff Hardy sitting around here collecting a paycheck. Can we use him? Still popular. By the way, great crowd again. I'll tell you, the WWE's pulling in great crowds. This crowd was very energetic last night. Anyway, we get a little backstage thing where Ali is saying, I don't want a tag team with Jeff Hardy, and they're still doing the good guy, bad guy routine, and then that's fine. Against Jinder Mahal and his crew. And Corey Graves is really, really putting over Mahal's team. So I knew they were going to win. Corey does that too much. He gives it away with his commentary. Now, if he hadn't have done that, I would have said, I don't know. Jeff Hardy's been in the title picture. They're trying to push Mansoor and Ali, and they've lost a lot. And Jinder Mahal ain't won a damn thing. So I would have thought, yeah, maybe, you know, they're going to win. As soon as he starts saying, I am so impressed with these guys, then I knew. So that's a mistake, and I wish Corey Graves would not do that. Still a pretty good match. And it's about time you woke up and realized these two guys are monsters. Okay, they're not small men. They're huge. And Jinder Mahal himself is pretty huge, to be honest. And it's about time that you woke up and said, maybe we should let these guys win a couple of matches. They had Veer. I think it was Veer or Shanky. I can't tell them apart. I think it was Veer. They had Veer actually use the microphone. And he was pretty good. So I was happy to see this, Mike, because it looks like they're going to further them a little bit now.
And how they won the match was Veer threw a punch. He used, and basically, if people don't know who Veer is, okay, Veer is this guy, he's from India, but he was the first Indian pitcher in the major leagues. They made a movie about him called Million Dollar Arm. Million Dollar Arm, something like that. And it's like, yeah, that's who that is. And when he won that match by throwing that pitch, and he said, and basically what he said, what I think what Graves said was, oh, this guy has a million-dollar arm.
Right, right.
You know, referring to that movie. But, yeah, these two, look at the three of these guys, Veer, Shanky, and, of course, Jinder. These are the type of guys that Vince says he wants, right? Big, tough-looking guys, right?
Yep. That's why I was happy to see it. And I was thinking to myself, Jesus, all of a sudden Raw has a pretty good tag team division. You have the New Day. Apparently, you're going to have the Hurt Business. You got Garza and Carrillo, who's doing really, really well. You're now going to have Veer and Shanky, apparently. You got Mansoor and Ali. You got the Viking Raiders. You know, that's pretty good. And you kind of got, still got AJ and almost, kind of. That's a pretty damn good tag team division. That's a really good tag team division, actually. So good for them. I mean, again, all night long I was saying to myself, the WWE is finally utilizing people. They're utilizing people correctly. Somebody threw some water on somebody and woke them up. If it was AEW, I don't know. I know Jim Cornette's predicting that AEW takes over the ratings from even Raw if Vince McMahon doesn't wake up. Well, I think maybe they woke up last night. Now, there was a thing with a recap of what happened with Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss, and what I'm told is Alexa Bliss is going to be off television for a while, probably a month or more. And in that course, they're going to decide what they want to do, either bring back the original Alexa Bliss, or there's some talk about bringing back an even more deranged Alexa Bliss who has morphed into Lily and is wearing like Lily sort of face paint stuff. They're not sure what they want to do yet. Whichever, you know, that's fine. We get Karrion Kross versus Jackson Ryker. Well, the Jackson Ryker push has come to an end, which means obviously that you wasted the Elias thing. I know you figured we don't care because we're going to reinvent Elias, whatever. But Jackson Ryker, you kind of put some work into. And I remember you saying he's going to be a top face. And I told you he's not going to be a top face. He could be a really good heel, but he's not going to be a top face. Karrion Kross looked a little better last night. Hopefully he gets under people's skin. It's still a work in progress. I'm not 100% sure this is going to work the way they want it to. I think you blew it early with that loss to Jeff Hardy that you did on purpose just to be spiteful, and you hurt yourself. So now I don't know. I don't know if you're going to get Karrion Kross there. But for the first time in a very, very, very long time, I began to do what I used to do when I loved wrestling so much that I couldn't miss one second of it. I began to speculate and say, I wonder if they're setting Karrion Kross up for Damian Priest, or I wonder if they're setting him up for Big E, or I wonder where this is going. Are we going to see a Damian Priest Karrion Kross match? That's good. That means you got the fans thinking and anticipating what might happen. So even though it was a short match, didn't mean a lot, I think it did serve its purpose, Mike, to make Karrion Kross look pretty good. Jackson Ryker's back down to Palookaville. I guess that's where he's going to stay. But, again, somebody has to be there.
Yeah, somebody has to be there. And, look, I still say that Kross could deal. Now, granted, they just got engaged or whatever. But I think he still really needs Scarlett.
I agree with that. And I think they're going to have to do it eventually. And I think they will do it eventually. I don't know what they're waiting for, but I think they will eventually. Todd, again, not a great match, but it served its purpose at least.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said about the Karrion Kross thing. Well, it's a great match, but he needs a little more work. I still don't like that outfit he's wearing.
I don't like the outfit either. I don't like it either. And it just makes him look goofy. Anyway, we get AJ Styles versus Matt Riddle. And Riddle makes some excuse to why Randy Orton isn't there. I heard he missed a house show, too. So I don't know what's going on with Randy Orton. But that's what I heard. Anyway, once again, AJ Styles proves why he's one of the very, very, very best, if not the best worker in the world. Him and Riddle just had a great wrestling match. That's the second one of the night. Because you had Damian Priest and Sheamus really tear it down. I loved that match. It was very, very physical, very hard-hitting, very stiff, exactly the type of wrestling I like. This one was a little more technical, but, man, talk about on the money with stuff. You know, when you see a real professional, whether it's even in baseball, you know, you see a guy make a play and you say, he made that sort of look routine. But if you watch that on replay, that's not a routine play. That's a play that a lot of guys won't make. AJ Styles is that type of guy. You'll see him do something, you'll say, well, it looks very easy and average. But then when you really think about it, you're like, no, that was not easy, and that was not average. That takes skill, and it takes experience and timing. It's just these guys put on a great match. And because they traded so much back and forth as far as wins and losses in these last couple of months, I did not know who was going to win. I assumed maybe AJ because there was no Randy Orton, and I thought maybe almost would interfere, which he did not, which is good. And the way AJ got to the Styles clash, awesome. There was a couple points in this match where AJ hit him with some stuff that I hadn't seen him do before that really made me go, oh, Jesus. Looked like it killed him. Styles gave obviously gave Riddle plenty of offense. A couple of times there, I thought he was going to win for sure. Back and forth, it was a very, very strong match with two guys who really know what they're doing, Mike. And again, this is something the WWE needs a lot more of.
Right. And one of the best spots in the match was when I believe he went to do the forearm, the phenomenal forearm, and as he's coming down, I believe he caught him with a knee.
Yes. Yep. And there was also the one where he turned a something into a flying move into a calf crusher by rolling it through. There was a lot of good stuff in this match. A lot of good stuff. I enjoyed every moment of this match. And I'm not a huge Matt Riddle fan, but I enjoyed every moment of this match. And I'm glad AJ Styles won. They got him back on the winning track without almost having to do all of his water carrying. So that's good. Now, backstage, Doudrop asks for a title match from Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville. And Sonya Deville says, well, you have beat Eva Marie twice in a row. Oh, there's your title contender. So I guess you deserve it. And she won't be ready for it. What do you mean she won't be ready for it? I thought you were on Charlotte Flair's side like a month and a half ago. And then she brings up Naomi, which is just pathetic. I mean, it's just like, oh, well, you got to keep that going, even though it's on a different program. Don't like that. I did not like that spot. And I also didn't like the spot where she said, if you win, you got to do your dance. It's almost like, oh, good, look, there's a fat girl dancing. That's funny. I don't know. I just don't like it. As far as the Charlotte Flair match is concerned, wasn't much of a match. It's, you know, listen, this was a match that only had one purpose, and that's to get Eva Marie out there, and that's exactly what they did. The WWE really needs to rethink this. If you want to use Eva Marie as a manager, God bless her. If you want to use her as a valet for another, for a male even, God bless her. To use her as a wrestler, it's absurd. It's just absurd. Nobody cares. Nobody's into it. She has zero heat. And I just don't know why you bother. So she causes Doudrop to be distracted. Charlotte Flair wins pretty easily. Doudrop is automatic mid-card, I guess. And we see her linger in the ring and then literally have to say, well, every girl back there is afraid of me and they know I'll beat them and I would have beat Charlotte Flair. Like anybody in the world can take even a modicum of that seriously. Out comes Shayna Baszler, and Shayna Baszler is supposed to be the heel. And this goes to show you how much the fans really don't like Eva Marie. And it's not good heat, it's go-away heat. That there's a difference. Don't be fooled into thinking, well, Shayna Baszler got a big pop and she's a heel. That goes to show you how much heat Eva Marie has. No, Eva Marie has no heat. Her heat is we don't want to see her on television anymore. So if Shayna Baszler takes her out, we're going to applaud. Which is exactly what Shayna Baszler did. But it continued the streak of Shayna Baszler now doing that arm-breaking thing she used to do in NXT, Mike, and I think that's a positive.
I think it's a positive, too, because, I mean, look, that's what we want her to do. That's what I mean. I don't want to see people get their arms broken, but I mean that's what made her kind of do that thing. I mean, it was a heel move, and with anybody else, I think that would have been a heel thing to do, because with anybody else, you know, especially if it's somebody that has the good face heat, you're not gonna cheer Shayna Baszler, but this is what's her name? This is go away heat. This isn't even the heat that Nia Jax got after she broke Becky Lynch's nose. That's not, you know.
I agree. Hey, listen, I don't want to be mean, but if I never saw Eva Marie wrestle again, it's not going to crush me. You know, you want to talk about people you should just have never hired, let alone people you're going to let go. You let Ruby Riott go, and this is what you got. Absurd. It's absurd. So we get the steel cage match. And this really lived up to, I'll tell you what, Bobby Lashley's come around. I was not a Lashley fan, but he's really busting his ass. I will give Bobby Lashley credit. He's taking his title run very seriously. He's busting his ass. And I got to tell you that I really, really, really thought, well, here we go. When the other people ran down, I said, oh, my God. They're going to get in the cage. Hurt Business is going to get in. The New Day is going to get in. There's going to be some ridiculous thing where, you know, somebody gets out of the cage and they say, okay, well, Big E is the winner, but he didn't really beat Bobby Lashley, because that's what the old WWE would have done. We protected Bobby Lashley, and Big E just luckily wins. And I thought, oh, God, here we go. They're going to mess up the main event. They did not mess up the main event. As a matter of fact, they did exactly what they should have done with the main event. They fueled a little bit of animosity between the newly reformed Hurt Business and the New Day. Good, because we might get a series of matches out of that, which will be very, very good matches. And Big E gives Bobby Lashley his finisher from the top rope. That's friggin' amazing, considering how big Bobby Lashley is and how big Big E is. That is not just an average, oh, well, you take the move, it's no big deal. That's a pretty big deal. That's two guys, if they F it up, there's injuries. Major injuries. That's a risk. Anytime you got guys weighing that much up there like that, that's a risk. That's a calculated risk. And that's what professional wrestling is about. You're supposed to be sitting there as a fan saying, I know it's predetermined, but that's dangerous. I mean, that's a risk. I'm sorry. Or you're supposed to be sitting there saying, man, those guys are just letting each other have it. I can see it on their skin even, like in the match with Sheamus and Damian Priest. Or, wow, look at the high level of expertise these guys have, like Riddle and AJ Styles. As a fan, you're supposed to sit there and say, yeah, I don't think I could do any of this. Or, man, I'd hate to be that guy. Or, wow, that was dangerous. Those guys are, you know, being paid, but they're putting their bodies on the line. I've been so sick of seeing wrestling where it's like, well, my neighbor could do that at 60. I'm tired of the little pussyfooting around wrestling. Last night we saw some hard-hitting wrestling, real, honest-to-God wrestling. Was this a perfect show? No. Because of the ridiculousness with Eva Marie, that it can't be a perfect show. There was some other things that were, you know, it's on and off. I don't like Corey Graves giving away endings. He does it constantly. But man, what an improvement Raw has made. They're utilizing their undercard. They're giving you and defining very clearly who the guys are that are pushing and who the guys are that are kind of just in the middle and who the guys are who are going to be the jabrons. They're clearly establishing it, and they're saying, this is the guys we're running with, which is all we ever asked. I don't even care if it's guys I don't like. Just please give me the pecking order So it's not, well, this guy is a main eventer. No, he's not. He's losing to a preliminary guy. This guy's a preliminary guy. No, he's not. He just beat one of our champions. I'm tired of it because we don't even know who to get behind. We can't even anticipate matches. These last couple weeks, you've changed. And we're starting to see a very well-established pecking order. We're starting to see the WWE say, these are the guys who are going to be in the main event picture for a while. Get used to them. Understand they're not going to lose much. These are the guys we're going to promote. These guys are in the middle ground. They're going to be win some, lose some, but they're going to kind of be right in that middle hunt for maybe the U.S. belt or something, but nothing above that. And here's our jabrons. Now, we can disagree with the jabrons. We can say, well, Tozawa is too good to be a jabron, but hey, somebody's got to do it. We could say Riker probably shouldn't be a jabron, but hey, somebody's got to do it. I can't argue that. You need to have those type of guys. And if those are the guys you want to do those jobs, that's fine. Just give me the guys you're going to promote too. Give me the guys that I'm supposed to put my effort into either liking or disliking. And you're doing it. You're absolutely doing it. Now, would I rather have Sheamus have that belt around his waist? Yes. Because I love every one of these Sheamus matches that are these hard-hitting, really stiff-worked matches. But I understand. You picked Damian Priest. He's not lost much. He's the guy you're running with. Good. At least I know. At least I know. Now, at the end of that match, Drew McIntyre comes out, right? And we may see Drew McIntyre versus Big E, which is a pretty good match. Face against face, I guess, but hey. That's okay. So, Mike, all in all, I thought the cage match itself and most of the night went pretty damn well. Hold on. Let me get Mike back.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yep, gotcha. Yep, gotcha.
Okay, so here's something else to think about the Hurt business. We know that right now what MVP is out, right? And he's coming back, I don't want to say relatively soon, but soon. But as long as he's out, you put the Hurt business back together, you give basically Shelton Benjamin's good on the mic and so is Alexander. That's another mouth you can give to help get Bobby Lashley over if you're gonna put him back together. Until MVP gets back in hell. We know what they were on their way to being as this badass group at one point. You could probably get them back there.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Mike? I'm glad you brought that up because I had a fan say that. I had somebody say to me, listen, yeah, it's too late. Those guys, they were jabrons at the end, and then they got fired, and then they couldn't beat anybody, and then they fought each other. Nobody's going to take him serious. I said, no, wrong. You can easily rehab these guys. And the easiest way to do it is to say, look, the reason we weren't successful is we hated each other. We fought each other constantly. We were always at each other's throats. We weren't on the same page. But we've come to realize that didn't help us any, and we're on the same page now. That gives them an excuse for why they were no good. They were trying to outdo each other. They were trying to one-up each other. They didn't like each other. Now they've come together and realized we're better this way. That's fine. That's all you need to do. It's an easy fix. That's an easy fix. So I disagree with that. I think the Hurt business back together is a very, very good idea. Now, some people are asking me, what do you think of the Goldberg thing? Well, Goldberg broke a rule. I want to know what Vince McMahon's going to do about it. I'll tell you what he's going to do about it. Nothing. You're not supposed to say anything about murder or kill. They don't want that. That's those banned words you don't say. You can't say, oh, my God, he killed that guy. Looks like he killed that guy. Or, oh, he's going to murder that guy. They don't want to hear it. Bill Goldberg said, I don't care if I kill you. He actually threatened to kill Bobby Lashley. So I want to know what Vince McMahon's going to do about that. Now, they had to pass that because that was pre-taped. So apparently Bill Goldberg can break the rules. Now, Bill Goldberg, I think he blew the promo, and I'll tell you why I think he blew the promo. Because his rationale was, you knew exactly who you had in that Hurt Lock, and you're a liar, and you're a coward. I would have rather had the, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you had in that Hurt Lock. The very idea that you put a kid in it, not an adult, a kid, who at the time wasn't throwing no punches your way, that's the problem. Now, it just happens to be my son, but it could have been anybody's son. And if you think you can treat a kid like that, you're mistaken. That would have been a hell of a lot better than, I don't believe you didn't know, because it's kind of true. How would he know? We just met him a week ago. He says some dude jumps out of the audience. He's supposed to recognize that face and say, you look vaguely familiar. I mean, that doesn't work. So I don't think that promo worked too well. I don't really care about this match. I already know Goldberg's going to win. They don't. Bobby Lashley's on a one-man losing streak now because I have a feeling he's going to get his ass shipped to SmackDown. I hope not, because then I don't know what happens with the Hurt Business. But I think that could happen. He's going to lose in Saudi Arabia. There's no way Bill Goldberg's traveling all the way to Saudi Arabia to count the ring lights. I'm telling you right now, that's not happening. After putting his hands on his son. So it's going to be a 30-second match, and Goldberg's going to win. Can you rehab Lashley? Yeah, of course you can. Fans are starting to realize that Lashley's busting his ass, and they're sort of wanting to root for him. It's not going to take much. Not too much at all. Bobby Lashley. However, if you add Cedric Alexander and the whole entire Hurt Business, MVP again, and Shelton Benjamin, that's going to be, I guess that'll be a little harder. So maybe they don't have that in mind. But when the time comes, you certainly can flip Bobby Lashley. So how was this show? I got to tell you, I liked this show a lot. I have very few complaints, and the complaints I have are minor. I don't like Eva Marie in this spot. I didn't like Sonya Deville bringing up Naomi on a show she's not on. I didn't like how they treated Doudrop in that spot, because I think she could be far better than this nonsense that's happening. Aside from that, I think you utilized your roster very, very well. I think we saw a lot of people that we don't normally get to see on television, and we were starting to establish a pecking order that we can follow as fans and say that these are the guys that are going to be the top guys. So for that reason, I'm giving this show an A. I'd give it an A+ if it wasn't for the Eva Marie thing, because that's how much I enjoyed Sheamus and Damian Priest, AJ Styles and Riddle, and I thought they did a fabulous job in the steel cage too. Now, the opening match was a bit of a ripoff, but it set the tone for the night, so that's okay. So, for me, Mike, this is an A show. How about you?
I've got an A show, too, and here's the deal. You could very easily flip all three of them. You send them all three to Hurt Business, all four of the Hurt Business to SmackDown. You keep Roman Reigns in them there, and there you go. You know, and there's your deal with the Hurt Business versus the
Bloodline,
the Roman Reigns deal, you know, and
what a great idea. If you could pull that off, if you could ship the Hurt Business and MVP to SmackDown to feud with Roman Reigns and the Usos, what a great time for wrestling that would be on SmackDown. You'd have MVP cutting promos with Paul Heyman. You'd have Roman Reigns and Bobby Lashley going at it. You'd have the Hurt Business with the Usos. You'd have some really good quality wrestling, Mike. They really should consider doing that.
And frankly, if they did do that, and they kept Brock there, then you could finally get that Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley deal as well.
Yeah, you could, although I got this feeling that after this match with Roman Reigns, they're going to ship Brock out to Raw. I just have that feeling. Todd, what's your rating on this show?
I'm gonna go with you guys. I'm going to give it an A as well.
I really enjoyed this show. I really honestly did. I felt that they took a big step forward these last couple of weeks, Raw especially. Now, SmackDown's been disappointing. It looks as though the WWE can only get one show right at a time, which I don't understand why. But maybe they'll redeem themselves this week on SmackDown, too. But the last two Raws have been very, very entertaining. And the last two Raws have begun to start reminding me why I'm a wrestling fan to begin with. And the people who are most responsible, although not completely, you see, it's almost like one of these sitcoms where you say, well, you have the main characters. But some of the side characters are very enjoyable, too. Well, that's the same way with the WWE last night. Your main characters, Big E, Bobby Lashley, The Hurt Business, The New Day, AJ Styles, and to a lesser extent, I would suppose, even Ali and Mansoor and those guys, all did a fabulous job. But so did all the minor guys, too. So did the guys who were just, we're in the background, but, you know, we're doing our thing. Everybody kind of hit their spot. A little disappointed again with the Ricochet Reggie thing. I think if Reggie was properly trained, we would have had something really, really good to watch. And a little disappointed with Eva Marie. But everybody did their job, and they did it pretty well. And that's all you can really ask for. I mean, I can't nitpick any more than that. So an A show from the WWE, they don't get too many of them from us. Let's hope that SmackDown can do the exact same thing. We'll see you on Friday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio was a savage...